This is KWAI Honolulu 1080 on the AM dial.
Another high rise, ain't it insane? Another Hawaiian bites the dust, another family must move. Well, I'm feeling so helpless, I just keep singing the brown man blues. I remember a time when me and Papa used to fish, catch a share and head on home, prepare my favorite dish. Son, those days don't come no more, enough fishes before they hit the shore. While I'm feeling so helpless, I just keep singing the brown man blues. Look what's happened, look around. Look who's running this crazy town. Look who's making all the laws. Look who ends up with it all. Wondering if they're still around or if they hit the road. If they lead on their own free will or just because they couldn't pay the bill. Well, I'm feeling so helpless, I just keep seeing the brown man blue. Ooh. How would you work it out and what would you do? Much would you take if it were you? Fed up with the changes that come with time. Look to the source, to a new nation's rise. Well, every day I look around me, nothing looks the same.
Another golf course, another high rise, ain't it insane?
Another Hawaiian bites the dust, another family must move. Well, I'm feeling so helpless, I just keep singing the brown man blue. Brown man blue.
Well, they're taking all our slippers.
Sonny's been waiting.
They're taking all our clothes.
Waiting his turn in.
Living in a tent.
Sonny's been waiting.
Cause nothing ever holds.
Brown man,
I'm tired and I'm angry.
Sonny's been waiting.
I'm being pushed around.
Waiting his turn in.
You better watch your step.
Sonny's been waiting.
I'm gonna stand my ground.
Brown man blue. Brown man blue.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
And good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. As always, a beautiful day here in Hawaii. Never complain about the weather. Anyway, you can like always, you can pick us up at carolcox.com live if you're having some static on the radio, or you got friends living in some little canyon or on the backside of the island. Just tell them, go to carolcox.com. You can pick it up on the phone or the radio or the iPad or your computer, whatever gadgets you have. Anyway, we're going to chat a little bit about it's a continuation, but 2 hours won't fill the time frame that I really need. So we'll just take up from where we talked about last week, and that was about the Red Hill fuel facility. And I know you probably say, well, we heard about that already, and you know, how much more can there be said about it? Well, as I've said to you, there is a lot to be said, and especially with the recent Camp Lejeune report that came out talking about the cancerous, the high levels of cancer from the TCE-contaminated water back in Camp Lejeune on the mainland. So we got some serious problems, and as I've described to you, they're probably because of the gamesmanship and the playing around that the United States Navy and the and other entities, the EPA, I think that based on what I'm continuing to gather, the documents, you should be worried. And I mean any politician, anyone involved in government relations should be alarmed about right now, because things have just been taking place up there on that hill in the interests of national security being disclosed. Things like very serious contaminations. So we talked last week about the water and the drinking water and the drinking water wells there at Pearl Harbor in that area. We know now there's an aquifer there. So here's what happened. I'm reading documents that I'm gathering from the state, and I've not contacted the Navy because basically the records are out there, and the practice now when you file a federal FOIA, you end up being jerked around. They will write you back and delay, even though the president, Barack Obama, promised to be more transparent. It seems that they're more transparent to show you how tricky they've become in releasing documents. So, what reading, you can put your mind to, or get it set to go out and dig up records, and you can put things together. It takes a long, it's a circuitous route, but you can get there. And in the first statement that was presented by the Navy, something to the effect that the fuel has leaked, but we don't have to worry about its contact with drinking water. It impacts. We don't see any problem. And that caught my attention, because knowing there are other leaks up there and knowing that it's been there for a long time, and what I want to do is give you some specific facts so you'll know exactly. Well, let's start a start point so you'll be abreast of everything too. So I'm going to read just a basic one-page introduction. And this is taken from the Phase 1 Remedial Investigation Report. They claim it to be a draft, but these came from the files of the State Health Department. A report of Red Hill Oily Waste Disposal Facility. Now, that's a new word. I mentioned to you last week about that oily waste dump. Well, that got my attention when I read some little document and some internet reference that said there was an oily waste dump, and that, aha, that might explain why we see certain constituents and contaminants in the water that they're saying, well, no, that wouldn't be here. We don't have that problem. It's not. We don't know where this constituent is coming from or this contaminant is coming from. We just have no idea. So I went a hunting and knocking doors and asking, and I was actually able to finally get my hands on the Red Hill Oily Waste Disposal Facility documents. And basically what that is take a sump, and I'll just read so that I won't confuse you with this category. The disposal facility, Fleet Industrial Supply Center, Pearl Harbor, Oahu, presents the interpretations and conclusions of the data gathered at the Red Hill Oily Waste Disposal Pit Facility located within the Fleet and Industrial Supply Center, Red Hill Fuel Storage Facility, Oahu. The United States Navy began constructing the Red Hill Fuel Storage Facility in 1938. And by the time the construction ended, the facility had 20 large underground storage tanks, USTs, each with the capacity of about 12.6 million gallons. These tanks were used to store special fuel oil, NFSO, NSFO, diesel fuel, jet fuel, JP5, aviation gas, Avgas, and motor gasoline, or MoGas. Many of you in the military know of that. A system of tunnels with access portals, known as adits, were constructed to connect the USTs to each other and also to the associated naval facilities. The Red Hill Oily Waste Facility, pit facility, I'm sorry, was constructed as an oily waste reclamation and disposal facility during the early 1940s and was connected to the Red Hill Fuel Storage Facility, USTs. The original oily waste pit was active from 1943 through 1948. Later, a stilling basin was constructed approximately at the same site in 1972 and was intermittently used through 1986 to deposit oily waste such as bottom sludge and rinse water generated from cleaning the USTs and also leaks in valves and pipes within the adit system. The investigation included 10 exposure areas of concern. So basically, they've identified 10 areas that are pretty hot or would have generated or associated some chemicals spilling within the site confines and also adjacent parcels owned by the United States Coast Guard. The entire site area lies directly over the Pearl Harbor Basal Aquifer, which is a major drinking water source for the island of Oahu. So, that then led me to thinking there got to be more records. And there are. And we now have them. And for those of you that are really interested in this and concerned with what you're drinking, I'm not trying to recruit you to become an environmentalist. That's not what my intents are here. If you just listen and share or inquire, because you're going to be the beneficiary of this. It's not going to be the whales. It's not going to be the dolphins. It's not, you know, the quote, crazy things that environmentalists talk about, you know, putting animals first. I'm going to give you the straight skinny and just tell you. You can sit on your haunches and think this is just another radio show and it's just something being said. Or you can take serious what is being said and follow up on it. Don't take my word for it. But follow up on it because you and your family is going to be impacted, period. It's not going to be somebody that's going to fly in here and experience a bad day in drinking water because, you see, we bathe in it, we cook with it, we wash with it, we drink it, we water our plants. You understand? So imagine the situation. So you can take an interest in this, or you can poo-poo it and dismiss it, but it's okay with me, and I've said that early on. I think there should be, in my opinion, based on what I'm seeing, and I'm going to share them with you, if you care about your own internal organs. They don't have to be your relatives or your friends, just your spleen, your livers, your kidneys, your all of that. You'll get on the phone and you'll ask your state legislator to pursue this to the end, to make sure that this so-called handling or remediation that they've been quietly talking about, and the only parties involved is state health department, the EPA, and others. Now imagine. So if you don't get excited about it, I understand. It's no problem. I can read and I know what I'm going to have to do for my adjustments. But for you, you know, normally we go out there and we try to recruit people and come on, join in, and we shall overcome, and we're going to, no. As individuals, you should be equally concerned and motivated just by the fact that if you have a faucet in your home and you are receiving water from this aquifer or this area, if you have a faucet, that's all I'll say, and you're turning it on and using that water, you should be concerned. That's my sales pitch to you. Take it or leave it. But, so what happens is, I want to read to you something that more. Now, what is the oily pit? See, each tank, and they said in here, this is what's really painful. They say that the oily waste, such as bottom sludge and rinse water generated from the cleaning of the USTs, is so innocuous as if it's nothing. It's just little Dawn dishwater soap and up there with some sponges and washing the tanks out. And then, oh, just what did we throw the dishwater? Oh, just put it in the sump there, in the pit. But the reality is, the sentence failed to say that they're using halogenated solvents, trichloroethylenes, and all of those, acetones, to clean the tanks. Also the oil, the fuel that is associated, the waste, and all of the other crud that come with it. They don't say that. They just say it's water, wastewater. So that is absolutely something that grabs me. And I want to, you know, some of you fishermen out there may be listening. And you go over, been at Pearl Harbor, and you see that they tell you the area is polluted. Pearl Harbor has some serious problems with heavy metals and contaminants and dildrin and aldrin and chlordanes, and you just name it. Pearl Harbor has it. So I've often wondered, what is it that causes, how did we get to the Pearl Harbor, a place that was so beautiful at one time, where actually the oysters that exist there and the life that teemed there in abundance, how did it become so polluted? Well, we say, well, maybe it's the shipyard. And maybe so, and other things, other activities associated with it. And then they tell you, well, the reason you see a sheen on the water in Pearl Harbor is that some of the battleships that were sank by the Japanese during the attack, they are still giving off oil. And I understand that. I'm not going to dispute that. And, you know, but listen to this. There is they know what large percentage of the oil is coming from, and they know. And if you're not astounded or moved by this, then we'll have to get some other things to get you excited. But this is the site name. This is a letter that was written to the State Health Department in February of 1992, approximate. And it was from R.J. Martin, Lieutenant Commander, U.S. Navy, in accordance with the Community Relations Plan, CRP, for the remedial investigation at Red Hill Oily Waste Disposal Pit. We have enclosed an updated fact sheet for your information. This fact sheet includes an update on the fieldwork activity being conducted at the site. So, two disposal pits have been used for the treatment and disposal of oily waste generated from the Red Hill underground storage tanks. The original pit constructed in 1943 was unlined. Keep in mind now, unlined. That meant you dump it in there and it bled down into the land, into the ground, into the aquifer. And after gravity separation of the water and oil, fractions, the water fractions, was either evaporated or discharged to... Are you sitting down? The water and oil fractions were then dumped into the South Halava Stream. Now, the Halava Stream goes into Pearl Harbor. Then the oil fraction was reportedly ignited occasionally, and other materials such as tires and wood. So they would take the waste oil from the tanks after they've cleaned them or whatever with the solvents and all of the other booger bears or uglies that are associated with this activity and burn it. So those people out there that lives in that area, this is uphill now, mind you. So Foster Village and all those areas. If you ever recall seeing a little black soot on your window there, and if you ever found yourself with some type of cancer over the years, or family members, or you were sickened, or asthma increased, this may lead you back uphill. Now, I'm not saying that is the cause, but these are in these documents, it speaks to the impacts and the effects on humans. Through derma, through their skin, through drinking, through eating it, through consuming it, through showering with it. Then the oil fraction was reportedly ignited, it said. In 1948, the pit was excavated to depths beyond any visible oil penetration. To preclude any possibility of contamination of the groundwater, the disposal of oily waste to the pit was discontinued. Now, this letter was written around, it's stamped 1992, but you're going to hear as I talk in many documents leading up to 2000, 2005 and all, you will hear that this material is still up there. But they're trying to assure you in this letter that they dug it up. Thereafter, waste sludge from the storage tanks were hauled to off-site storage facilities in the shipyard. Some discharges of oily water from the bulk storage tanks to the stream continued as the site was used to collect and store waste materials. See, it's so loose, waste materials. You didn't know anything about this, but the State Health Department had these records. In 1972, an asphalt concrete lined pit was constructed in approximately the same location. So they get a little wiser and they put asphalt in the bottom of the pit, as if that was going to help. But, and so they thought the pit would be used to separate and evaporate water fractions from the tank sludge. The oily fractions was hauled to the NSC, the Naval Station, waste oil reclamation plant. It was suspected that some water from the pit was diverted to the stream due to improper valve operations at the pit. In addition, it was dumped into the vegetated area in the vicinity of the pit. The pit was finally taken out of service due to potential contamination identified by site inspection conducted under the Installation Restoration Program. A 1983 study analyzed the sludge in the lined pit and found elevated concentrations of polynuclear aromatics, hydrocarbons, PNAs, phenols, heavy metals, and volatile hydrocarbons. Anyway, that's just a bit of it, and I don't mean to overwhelm you, but as I say, this is not the hour of recruitment now. I'm not trying to get you to become an environmentalist. Just trying to get you to say, to your legislators, we need some answers. Because not anyone else, not you, if you live in this area and you consume this water and you, you then have an interest. I don't mean to belittle or sound as if I'm insulting, but that's how serious this is. Well, at least for me. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question? Hello? Well, I had a couple calls there, but I guess they were didn't really want to wait around, but call back if you'd like to. Anyway, folks, this thing, you might say, well, it was top secret. Well, yes, it was. But as far back in the 80s, they were up talking about it, people giving tours. So why weren't they telling us about the contaminants? Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Hi, I lost you.
Okay, go ahead. How are you?
Well, you are so full of information this morning, it's just so hard to grasp all of it.
You scared me. I was thinking, I was sure glad you finished that sentence quick. I heard all I heard, so full, I was...
No.
Thank God no, you speak...
My God. Well, it is just so hard to hold on to all of that. You know, my poor little brain can't absorb all of it. It's just too much.
Well, don't worry. Your liver and your fatty tissues will hold.
Oh, they already have it. Yeah, they already absorbed that.
They'll
we already did that one. When the United States decided to test the nuclear weapons in the Marshall Islands, they brought the ships back, those that survived it. They brought them back to Guam and to Pearl to wash them down. All that nuclear contaminant. Now, Guam admits to it, and with the RCRA program, and they admitted to it, but our dear senator never, you know, he kept it from Hawaii admitting that there was anything, except that the next day the signs went up at Pearl about it being contaminated, which is really sad. But they, you know, they treated that nuclear waste so light-handedly, just, well, you know.
Well,
and they still do. They lie about it.
Well, as we talk along here, the for example, just for the scientists out there, I apologize. I'm not going to go into great details. I'll read as much as I can. And then for the layman, just know that I didn't write this. And if the name is too difficult to pronounce, then you should go to checking and see what is it. Or if it doesn't sound like Jell-O, then you should be really concerned. But here's taken from the Red Hill Oily Waste Disposal Facility, and the thing is, they've been dinkering around with this way back when, and still yet they're debating whether it should be on a national pollutant list, a priority list. Is it a Superfund site? And one report says, I'm going to read some of the things that they submit to the state and the state's response to those submittals. Just outright lies and just constant. And yet we're supposed to sit now and accept what has been written and to take it as fact. You cannot make this many mistakes. And because the Navy, as you know, in the military bases, they have specialists. They have environmental specialists in special fields. So it's not like we're just dealing with a private company who's barely making money. We have people, PhDs, that work for the government at these facilities. Engineers. You follow? So here's from this, taken from Section 4, page 151 of 236. Phenanthrene was detected in all six samples. And I'll give the numbers, but 0.019 milligrams per kilogram. And they give the thing. But finally, pyrene was detected in five samples. It should be
what
noted
is pyrene?
That, well, I don't know what pyrene is, and it's,
it doesn't sound like something you're supposed to eat,
See, as I say, I have a list of these things, and I'm not going to try to run through them. And later on, I will. But for the sake of, as I say, that's why I said up front, the disclaimer is that I'm just going to lightly, but just show the records are here. And we're going to post a great many of them up on carolcox.com. So you go and take your own takeaway of this, and don't take my word for it, because when it comes to milligrams and kilograms per liters and the conversion, you have to be careful, because while one entity measures this way, the other, and they all hurry to the line to say, yes, even it was excessive and it exceeded state, but it's still safe overall because you get that jingle, right? So it should be noted that the sediment samples at RHSEIDOO, this is a well, contain the highest concentration of PNAs at this location. This sample was collected from the abandoned concrete drainage culvert that was the recipient of oily waste flowing from the ceiling basin to the South Halava Stream via a 10-inch slope pipe. See, they didn't just dump, and in that one letter I read earlier said, oh, by accident. He had a drainage culvert built in the pit, near the pit, with the pipe. Why would you, if it was an accident, how could it be an accident if you have a pipe, if you have a 10-inch slope line dumping into the stream?
Now,
you must have anticipated you were going to dump, or why would you? And what about heavy rains when it overflowed the pipes or the tank or the sludge or the sump? Go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you about this 10-inch. That sounds small to me. Is that?
Well,
a 10-inch pipe, it sounds awfully small.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know the relevance, because the point is, whether it was a 1-inch or 2-inch or 100-inch, it shouldn't be dumping into the stream. That's the takeaway.
I was thinking, if it's a 10-inch slope, does that mean the slope is 10 inches or the pipe is 10 inches, what I was getting at?
Well, it's a 10-inch slope line.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Back up here. I had to use my marker. It's a slop line. S-L-O-P.
Oh.
There's no E in it. I had taken a blue marker, but it's slop line. So,
ooh.
Yeah. 10-inch slop line. Whatever that means. Is that the
yeah, that sounds
maybe,
even worse.
Maybe someone else can call in and tell us what the slop line is. But I kind of get an idea. But anyway, this is just absolutely unbelievable, what is found up there. And it all starts when they first come out. We had a spill. It's not going to threaten the water system, and it's no problem to the public. When they should have said, this is one of many, many spills that have occurred over since 1940s, and we do have contaminants in the water, and we're breaking our neck trying to hurry to see what we can do to minimize the impact on the human health and the environment. We know it to be true now that it is a problem. We know that the horse is out of the barn. We know that. So we're telling you that. And we now need Congress and Senator Danny Noy and others to get some money here to mitigate this, or to see if we have to shut these wells down and don't drink the water and import water from China or somewhere.
Oh,
I mean, I don't know.
I love it. Yeah. So, if you've been following this coal ash
mm-hmm.
spills in North Carolina and West Virginia, I'll make the point here,
mm-hmm.
the connection. Even the local EPA has been subpoenaed because they dropped the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that just because you have a job called EPA doesn't necessarily mean that you are doing what the public thinks you ought to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I asked you that last week, I guess, where was the EPA on all of this?
And if you remember, my comment was
yes.
that mm-hmm. if you trust the EPA, then you're really ill-informed or misinformed.
Yeah, and that's why I brought that up about these people being subpoenaed.
These are, quote, sister agencies. This is so the people out there, the citizens out there, understand how this works. Yes, in the truest form, they're supposed to be independent. When the phone rang, EPA, I have this problem, and it's the military, and okay, we're right on it. And they go over there, and they act as law enforcement entities. They bring their scientists. They do an investigation. They take the necessary steps. And, hello, this is State Health Department. Hi, I want to file a complaint against the use of oily pits up there in Red Hill. Okay, we're on it. And then you would see some expediency. You'd see quickness, and they'd be holding people accountable, the feet to the fire, and prosecuting if necessary. But in this case, they've been violating. And remember now, what's really painful is that we know that the Navy, the requirements, they were deferred. They were basically exempted. Right? So why now, State Health Department? Why now, EPA? Because they know that what has happened is that this is one of the worst environmental impacts, negative impacts, that will be noted in Hawaii. I mean, with the loss of the birds and bringing mosquitoes and the malaria and introducing other species, that too is up there. But this was one that could be managed. The others were occurred because we didn't take in the science or didn't have the science available to understand malaria and pox. But this activity, this is just very disrespectful as to the human life and the environment, because for the sake of national security, sounds like I'm ungrateful that I'm here free of being able to talk like this, but I'm not. It's don't poison me. I'd rather now not to think what kind of cancer I'm going to die in, and where's the freedom of that, right?
Well, so, you are not alone, and I trust, hope and trust, that the Representative Chris Lee and Senator Gabbard and their panel of people that they are going to bring together on this issue, I hope they will see the depth of this issue that you have presented over the last 3 weeks, and every time you talk, there is more and more and more. I just hope that they will see and that they will not allow it to be swept under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
I hope.
Like I say, I know this. It sounds like I'm mouthing and it's disrespectful, but I'm just going to submit. You know, I'm just curious of what the citizens will do. I mean, you know, we tolerate such crazy politics, and we tolerate many other things, but now it's right down to your health, to you as individuals. You follow?
And other than the people that listen to you, and that follow you on the internet, I don't see this issue anywhere else. I don't see it in one daily paper. I don't see it on anybody's blog other than you. So is that deliberate? Has the newspaper just looked the other way?
No, the advertiser has been quite receptive. And in fact, I've actually, everything that I have here, I've shared it with I've delivered it to the advertiser, and they'll be doing another article. So it's
well,
not,
good.
It's not that. I mean, you know, I can talk until I turn yellow here. But at some point, you know, it's the legislators, Senator Gabbard, it took him all of 3 minutes to understand this. And some say, well, he needs some press. No, it's nothing to do with press. I wouldn't lend myself to that kind of craziness. He got it from the first 3 minutes when I made a phone call to his office. Mm-hmm. That was it. It didn't take a sales pitch. Anybody.
Dr. Green, Senator Green, called me because, you know, that first Sunday, and I called everybody. Dr. Green called right back and said, he left a voicemail, and he said, thank you, thank you, thank you. And so that's what I have gotten from the people, said, thank you for bringing this up.
Well,
now, whether they'll take it any further or do something with it, at least they know that it's there.
Well,
I just want to see where it goes.
Well, I know where it will go, with or without them. The illnesses associated with these carcinogens and the contaminants is enough to, I can sit back on this one and just say, I did my best in my most archaic fashion. You know, it's category, but I'm trying. I'm at least making an attempt. But let me share with the listeners. Here's another letter. Now, that was a 1992 letter that I read early about it dumping into the streams. And here's a June 10th, 2004 letter to Darren Uchima. State Department of Health wrote this letter. Notice of violation, request for information. Okay? They're finally coming around to kind of talk hard. But in the report, during the to date, DOH has not received the requested documentation. Let me go back. During the telephone conversation between representative of the Department of Health, DOH, and Navy on December 11, 2003. This is now written in 2004. A number of issues were discussed, including the documentation requested in DOH's letter of October 10, 2003. To date, DOH has not received the requested documentation from the Navy or the required quarterly progress report. The first confirmed underground storage tank UST released for the Red Hill facility was reported on October 28, 1998. Since that time, two additional confirmed releases have been reported and logged. Under the UST laws, the Navy should have submitted 21 quarterly progress reports. DOH has received none. This is the kinds of things and behavior that has taken place. Just with this issue, and they then come to the paper and say, well, the leak we had is really not a problem. But yet, they were already engaged in cleanups and know the constituents and how serious the contaminants are.
Yeah. That's one of the many things that they are telling us that are okay and they're not. I don't know who the health department works for, but they continuously do that.
Mm-hmm.
They let things slide or look the other way. I don't know what it is, but there's just so many items that they don't tell us about.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, this entire game. Now, the Navy did, in fact, submit a number of reports and then was sent to the UST, but did it go to the Safe Drinking Water? Safe Drinking Water say, well, it didn't come to us directly. But there is no excuse for that kind of behavior, because if you know your purpose is to monitor safe drinking water and you're not getting any reports, then you're derelicting your duties. You should be fired. Mm-hmm. There's no excuse.
There just isn't.
I mean, I don't understand, and this is the arrogance to be willing to say we forgot. It's like the heart surgeon saying he forgot to do some critical part of an operation that is required, right, or what have you.
It's just that crazy. So here is one phase two remedial investigation in a 1990. This is it's so crazy trying to chase it. Now I just read your 2004, but here's April 9th, 1999 letter. The Hawaii Department of Health Hazard Evaluation and Emergency Response Office has reviewed the subject RI report and has the following comments. The Phase 2 remedial investigation identified some moderate levels of petroleum soil contamination in the above ground storage tanks, with TPH levels of 6,800 or 6,800, 7,620, and 11,300 milligrams per kilogram, and in the unauthorized discharge area at 8,300 milligrams per kilogram. This investigation, the Department of Health, DOH risk-based corrective action and decision-making Tier 1 guidelines were identified as to be considered. The DOH RBCA policy has an action level for petroleum of TPH 5,000. Can you imagine that? So DOH has a 5,000 level, but the Navy is documenting that here's some levels at 6,800, 7,000, 11,000. Follow? And nobody pulled their hair out and screamed. Yeah, they read it. They wrote it. With several areas at the site having TPH contamination levels exceeding 5,000 milligrams action level, the Navy needs to take action to address this contaminant issue. I mean, folks, we're wasting our money. And you might as well sit down at the dinner table with your family and take a gun or whatever, or pause it and play Russian roulette with yourselves, because where you're supposed to be informed, and we're spending millions to house and to fund and pay salaries and vacations and all of that to get this kind of work, both from the Navy and the state. So why does this happen? How could we arrive at this point, you know? Is it because we have kingmakers here? One man is elected and he finds his way, navigate himself to the top, and then turn around and look from the mountaintop and says, I bring the bacon, so you better shut up down there below or you won't be getting any. This is shameful. And we talk, you mentioned North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, and those areas. I'm eager to talk about those things, but then that would be the equivalent of a relief valve in this conversation. Let's stick right here with
No, no, I didn't mean to do that. I'm just saying that the EPA is derelict.
I know. That's why I'm more restricted to here. I don't want to go across the waters, because I want someone to step up to the plate and acknowledge that our heroes are zeros, local heroes, that supposedly none of this should happen. None of it. And we talk about environmental justice. That's the other thing I wanted to say. Sometimes these things associated with communities that are impacted, or it won't happen in Hawaii, Kaya, Kahala. Hey, man, it's the aquifer. It's going to impact anybody that's receiving, whether you live high on the hog or have no money. You follow? So I would just hopefully, when you hear this kind of stuff, I don't even know where to place it. For example, here's another in this same letter. Section 643, unauthorized discharge area, states that the concentrations of TPH were detected in 36 surface and subsurface soils analyzed during the phase 2 RI, but none exceeded DOH recommended soil action levels. This statement is in error, as sample AB102 had a TPH residual fumes concentration of 8,300 milligrams per kilogram. You see, and it goes on, and I'll share more of this. But can you imagine that? Let me take this other caller.
Sure, go.
Caller, good morning. You have a comment or question?
Yeah, good morning. You keep mentioning Pearl Harbor aquifer that is possibly being contaminated by the oil residual or spills. What is an aquifer, and what is the mechanics, or how does the Board of Water Supply get water from this aquifer and distribute it to the areas surrounding this particular aquifer?
Well,
the aquifer
water, underground water collecting, there's shelf water, there's various phases, but you start off with the clouds, or it could be salt water intrusion, you know, through osmosis coming through the rocks, through pressure, and you have a collection of water. We as human beings have learn to somehow manipulate that by taking pipes and boring holes and going down and calling it wells, and then from there we extract that water from these, quote, aquifers. And the ocean influences the content of salinity because it's salt water, and then when it rains, you're looking at fossilized water pretty much, water, old water that have rained over the many hundreds of years or thousands of years. And you're down there at depth, probably in the early years before man started to really tap into it, it was groundwater level was pretty high. So 300, 200 feet, it depends. I'm careful to say anything specific because I'm chasing documents that don't make sense. I mean, you can see right here the Navy is reporting to the enforcement entity. And they're not getting straight answers. So, but in a general sense, that's basically, and so you put a piping system, a well head, and you extract that water, and you then pump it into the big tanks that you see up on the hills that Board of Water Supply has, and then in turn, that water then is then transferred back down into the system that connects to the houses, and that's where they test the waters up at the tank, supposedly, or at the wellhead. Again, I'm not going to go out on a limb and make any specific statements about it because they're not being specific.
Yeah. Okay, my experience with the water supply for these islands, especially Oahu, is based on, there's three sources of water. One is surface water, and then there's artesian water, which is fresh water floating on salt water.
Right.
Based on, I think you ought to Google the Geisenberg principle.
I'm familiar with that, but
that
go
is
ahead.
The basis of all the water on this island. Then there's the well system where you drill a hole and you get into water like they have in Oahu and Eva.
Mm-hmm.
You drill down, but most of those wells in Eva have been depleted, but Waipahu experienced a period where there was contamination from pesticides from the pineapple fields in Waiawa, and so they had to take means to distill or treat the water before it was put back in the system.
Right.
But I'm not familiar, having worked in the water supply years ago and have researched it, I'm not too familiar about this Pearl Harbor aquifer that you keep mentioning it to us.
Well, they also...
And I don't understand. I don't know the mechanics of how the water logs might get this water. I've never gotten to the engineering aspects. I don't know how the water logs might get the water from this Pearl
Harbor. Hold on. Without sounding flippant, here's... I don't really concern myself with the mechanics of it right now. This conversation is about... There's contaminants in the water, and we haven't been told about them, and they've been just up there lingering. However they get it, either by dipper, you know, in the old days we used to take a dipper or the hand pump and prime the pump, and then you dip it out. If that's one of the ways, what I'm trying to express and the concerns I have right now is the contaminants and the carcinogens and all of those things that are in it, not how it's delivered to the house. So, you know, with all respect, I understand. But I'm down to the last seconds. Call back in the next hour. You're free to call back in the next hour. I'm down.
You're on another hour?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You've been missing out.
Right.
Okay, Ed, call back. Okay, aloha. All right, we're going to take a break. This is the Carol Cox Show, and we'll come back in the second hour. We're talking Red Hill fuel oil waste and all. So, aloha.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
Airwick.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like that's what you want to do. Here come bad news, talking this and that. Yeah. Well, give me all you got and don't hold it back. Yeah. Well, I should probably warn you, I'll be just fine. To you, don't waste your time. Here's why. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like that's what you want to do.
Time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Hey, good morning and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, the second half. As you know, we go from 9 until 11. It used to be from 8 to 10, but we gave the hour back to Polka to make sure he could come on and for 2 good hours. So anyway, we're talking Red Hill Naval Fuel Oil Facility and the oil waste pits and what have you. One of the callers asked, what is pyrene? Here's a scientific name. So if you're able to
take it on here. Pyrene is a polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbon consisting of four fused benzene rings, resulting in a flat aromatic system. The chemical formula is C16H10. This colorless solid is the smallest perifuse PA. So anyway, pyrenes, as you know, can be found in fire to smoke detectors, not detectors, but extinguishers. So anyway, benzene is a, or any of the benzos. The thing is, that's why I like to stay away from that, because it, the fluidity of a conversation, unless you have someone as an engineer or that really knows this stuff, you can end up just cluttering the air. But the basic concerns I have and what I want to do is to share with you how whatever it is in the ground and is found or dumped, illegally dumped or leaked accidentally, it's the response and it's the hurried pace to get it cleaned up to ensure that public safety is not threatened or human life is not, the quality of human life doesn't diminish or the environment impacts. That's what my intent here is. So if you call up and you want to know what about drinking wells and how they work, if you know that, just pitch in. Give me the information, and because I don't want to be a know-it-all, because I don't know it all, and there's nothing like having someone to speak on a matter in great details when you learn they're really not details. It would be like the guy standing there doing sign language for Mr. Obama and the other places that find out he's just waving his hand. So I don't want to just be flapping my lips, okay? So if you have something that you can pitch in and add to it, let's keep the conversation going. But that's about it. But anyway, Carla, go ahead.
Aloha again.
All righty.
I am thoroughly impressed with the amount of work, the amount of documents that you have secured. This is unbelievable that it's been going on all these years and no one from the public has brought this to our attention. So I don't know if you can quantify this. As each administration changes, the top, all of the top people in the Department of Health are appointed, they're political appointments, and do they really know what's going on, or are they just filling seats because they worked on somebody's campaign and this is a payoff? I know you can't answer that, but that's my question.
Well, there's many of things here that causes alarm. First of all, our sitting, our reigning governor is one of the entities that brought back all of this bacon and these projects. Now, he didn't bring back in the 40s. I mean, he may, you know, I'm not going to say he looked that old, but I won't put that in his lap. But my biggest complaint about all of this, and we need military if this is the way the world is, if there are people out there threatening and attacking, and we're also aggressive as a nation. That's all been debated, and you can hear that later at other shows. But what, being that it's here, there can be precautions, there can be measures in place that are already in place. But here's the problem. You bring them in, and you cite, we're going to be at Pohakaloa. But no one ever said that we've set aside $2 million, $3 million, whatever it takes to inform a community, to set up a transparent task force, to be able to monitor these things on the moment. I know there's secrets and weaponry and what have you, but at least when it comes to the environmental impacts, give a bona fide sampling regime, be timely. Give it to the people and then allow it if you're going to force us to accept the military activities. But we're not seeing. We hear, well, this project is going to bring money to the economy. But then the state health department is in a predicament where it really
it gets a little money from the federal government in some instances, but it's all spent, and then the taxpayer here is spending to fund them, and then they're already writing letters and trying to monitor, and then when this hits, now they really got to go back and spend money and time. So our legislators should look at that if we continue to entertain military activities or anything sanctioning that, then we should attach a rider that requiring and a transparent effort and an enforcement and a regulatory and a monitoring that is funded by the entity, the military. They got lots of money. So, because it's going to cost more to clean it up. That's my biggest gripe about this situation, and the fact that it's been in the water, it's in the environment. They dumped it in Pearl Harbor, and they knowingly and said, "Oh well, it's just the the tanks from the sunken ships that are leaking." When they know they're up top, they were bleeding off water that's coming out of the oil tanks up top with chemicals and contaminants. That's what's alarming. That's what's problematic. And I posted some pictures up on carolcox.com. You can go there and see the oil pits. And you can also, some signs there around the Pearl Harbor area there. And it reminds me about a year ago, maybe a little longer, the signs were just around Pearl Harbor were just people from vandalism and the sun baking them. And I contacted the HERE office and got them to agree that they must do, and I think they put some 230 some signs up to make sure that they comply. Because if they know the chemicals are in the water, they should warn the people. But just a little side note. You take that up top of the hill above the aquifer, and then you go down where they manufacture. They didn't just use chemicals on the Waipahu Peninsula. They manufactured them. There's an area right there right now by the soccer field in that vicinity. And if I don't know why anybody would even take their children over there and play. But, you know, if you can drive them in a Mercedes-Benz to play soccer, that may, you're getting things done. But a little word to the wise out there. Here's a little warning. Just adjacent to that property is a property that to even walk in, you should wear mask and protective clothing. Just to walk in it because of the dioxins. The dioxins are so high. And so what happens with the wind swept, the wind and the runoff and all of that? Kind of shameful. But again, that's on Navy property.
Well, now tell me, they are manufactured?
They manufactured it there. It was a site they made pesticides. And then they had a runway there that they used to take it and fly it over and distribute it over the fields and what have you. So, you know.
Well, you know, most people, when you say Pearl Harbor, they see that little place where the Arizona and whatnot. But unless you take a water tour in a boat and go all the way around and in and out, you don't get a sense of how vast it is and where so many of these things can happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or did happen, let me say that. Until you see it, it's really, and to think that it's breathtakingly beautiful, and why they would screw it up is, well, that's a different story.
Well, here's there's an apparent misnomer. Here's from a report again. I wanted to share this because I don't want to just give my thoughts about it. This is review comments and draft phase one remedial investigation. This is working up to where we are today. And I'm going to read several of these as we go. page 774, there's an apparent misnomer. This is the state's response to the Navy to a report that they gave, indicated for the work being completed. Section 7.2 cites scoping of ecological risk assessment. The first sentence starts off with, quote, the site scoping ecological risk assessment, end quote, when there is no such animal. You follow?
No, it doesn't exist.
Yeah, the reviewer who's giving the comments is saying, you're making claims in a report to us about these contaminants, and it don't exist. There are phases of risk assessment, including the site scoping of the problem, formulation, eco-risk form, EPA 1980. But there is no such phase as a, quote, site scoping ecological risk assessment. They're cooking the books. Mm-hmm. Now they'll probably come back and say, but we fixed that. No, I'm appalled that you would have the tenacity to even write this down and try to get by with the first level of recovery. And it says here, but there's no phase as a, quote, site scoping ecological. This is more than just semantics, because as suggested in the above referenced section of this document, the risk assessment is only intended to be risk assessment, limited to scoping efforts, which is not complete as written. So they submitted, and this document here is about 12 pages, and it consists of one after the other telling them, don't exist. You're making claims. You've made falsely represented. You've made false statements. And this was their supposedly a scientific document, a document based on research and hiring of contractors to do all of this. You know... So the report recommends additional RI phases for the stilling basins for two 8,000 gallon above ground storage tanks and for the underground piping and oily waste delivery. Through these investigations, additional contaminants may be detected or potentially eliminated. The presentation of cleanup standards in the RI is premature, considering the lack of full characterization of these three sites. So in other words, they didn't characterize the site. They just went in and took some, I guess, swifter mops and mopped up and says, that looks good enough. We dug up 10 feet, so that's good enough. Just tell them we did this. This is basic. It's the equivalent of that. So I just don't know whether, since the RA levels will be provided, let's see here, I had marked a couple of them. For contaminants remaining on the site, Superfund remedial action must satisfy any applicable, quote, applicable or relevant and appropriate, end quote, promulgated state standard. They talk about, for example, both the federal and Hawaii primary drinking water standards are presented in Section 6.0. The federal primary maximum contaminant levels, that's MCLs, appear to be the only documented AAR groundwaters at this site. Since the promulgated Hawaii MCLs are not more than stringent than the federal MCLs, the Hawaii MCLs are not ARRs. As more data are gathered from the site, newly identified substantive Hawaii requirements should be compared with similar federal requirements, and the more stringent requirement be applied. Once again, this is why I don't trust these so-called numbers and the levels, because this is a statement right here that speaks to that. They just cook the books and cook the numbers.
Well, as we have talked before, they don't talk about the cumulative effect. Okay, so that's per 8-ounce drinking water one time. Mm-hmm. They don't talk about the cumulative effects. And since 1940, since most of the people on this island today statistically were born after 1940, so it's been part of their lives, all of their lives.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and no one talks about the cumulative effect of what this does to people.
Well, yeah, well, I guess they that's down the road, because if they're not disclosing to the public that any of this exists, they really wouldn't be motivated to talk about cumulative effect, right? If they're concealing that, if they're saying it does not exist or just mute, no speaking of this, a disclosure that any of this, the conditions exist, guess what? You wouldn't really get any disclosure of cumulative. They don't want to know that. That would be too damning. Because then you'd have to tell. If you talked about the cumulative, then you would have to make a declaration that the problem exists, right?
Yeah, I guess. Yep.
So
if the problem doesn't exist, we don't have to go that far.
It's like asking a dishonest man to tell you why he's not honest. He'd have to tell you everything he's done to arrive and understand why what he's doing is not an honest act. So it would be the same. But this is far greater than that. This is, they failed to tell us. They were reckless in the designs and didn't put precautions to protect from that, or plans to prevent spillage and seepage and into the groundwaters. And the mere sighting of where it's located. Who would ever think you wouldn't do that today. You can't even put a trash dump over the drinking water zone within that, right?
Well, at the time they built this, 1940, no one was living up there. But what we have now is that it's totally populated, and therefore, based on what you have told us, that they should be doing something to protect from this point on.
Right, and what they're doing, they're protecting their Okoli by coming out and telling the newspapers, oh, we had a leak, but don't worry, it didn't get into the waters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of nonsense. But here's another section here. Page 729 in this report, first incomplete paragraph. First complete sentence. It should be noted that the PCB contamination is clearly indicated, detected in 9 of 11 samples. Although the concentrations 0.2 milligrams per kilogram average and 0.41 maximum are fairly low, they could pose significant health risk to exposed workers or residential population. They didn't disclose that, didn't take that into consideration. They're having to be told that that's what they're doing, that they're cooking the books or failing to disclose, make accurate disclosures. Another one is page 721 of this report, last paragraph, fourth sentence. Unfortunately, quote, very low levels of Arachlor 1260 can pose significant health risks to exposed populations. Consequently, the conclusion that the soil contamination is not of concern seems premature. It seems more reasonable to assume that based on the limited number of samples collected for the EO area of concern, PCB contamination could be more significant than indicated and could pose significant health risk. Additional sampling and evaluation of the extent of the contamination appears warranted before the writing of this EAOC, regardless of the health risk results, since they were based on limited data. You see? Please provide further clarification. I can't bring myself to accepting the Navy as being honest about any of this, because these are not just high schoolers. These are professionals. And they wrote
that
these.
That brings to mind a broader conspiracy or cover up or whatever you want to call it. A much broader.
Yeah, it just goes on and on and on about they talk about dosage. They don't, in that report, they didn't submit any evidence or the sufficient evidence. So it was just, there's a lot of other things that they talk about, but it's a bit lengthy. But I want to give you, and I say this is a 12-page document where they submitted, after they had done their investigation, phase one remedial investigation report. And then there's also one of these for this phase two. And it's enough to get you angry if you're sitting here reading it. It is indicated that the old pit area was not in active use from 1949 to 70. Since the stilling basin was not constructed until 1972, it is clear where the sludge. It is unclear where the sludge from the 12.6 million gallon tanks was discharged. Please provide an explanation in the report of the discharge point disposal activities. So, you see, they jumped as if they stopped and took the tanks out, and they say in 1949 to 70, it wasn't used. But they were still generating waste, but they didn't say where the waste was going. Well, they tell us it was going into the stream.
Mm-hmm. And, so if they're not being used, how do we know that with the rain and the whatever, that there wasn't stuff coming out?
Well,
you know, that if they're not being used, who's monitoring them?
Well, there's
what's going on with them.
There's a transformer site that is part of one of these 10 areas. Actually, there's some reference that there's 11 sites, but in some of the documents, but the bulk of the documents talks of 10 sites. And the reality is, what they also, the unauthorized dump area, that's something they call it, and that would be just take the material and the waste and just dump it in the grass. They did that a couple of times, at least was reported a couple of times. So if they reported two, then you should multiply that by 200 the way these guys operate. And you probably still would come up short. But again, what it's all about is that just the basic, they write it as if it was just waste water without talking about how toxic and the chemicals and the PCBs and the transformer sites and all of that. And then there is now they're handling it by having two, I think it's 8,000 gallon tanks. And where does that go when it's when the waste, well, that tank receives a waste. Where does that waste go?
You there?
Yes, go ahead.
No. I was just, again, that, so the waste, if it goes into the ocean, I mean, goes through this and then into the ocean, mm-hmm. Is that what happens? The waste.
Right.
After it's whatever they call it, and it goes down these slopes or what sloop or whatever you called it, does it then go into the ocean?
Well, it could go percolate down to the ground, or it could be captured in the roots. It depends on the constituents and how much. But remember, they're upslope, and what goes up must come down, right?
That's what I was asking. Yeah.
So you're going to either have runoff or rain fall down, or it's going to percolate. But well, both, because if the ground isn't saturated, but it will migrate anyway. And the records show that it did. They know that. Hold on 1 second. Caller, good morning. Thanks for waiting. You have a comment or question?
Yeah, I thought I'd get back to the aquifer.
Well, if you know it now, just go ahead and tell us. I don't want to be quizzed about my knowledge of wells and how.
No.
Okay,
I'm not
go ahead.
What I'm saying, the implications are that leakage from the Pearl Harbor fuel tanks is ending up in the drinking water supply.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what evidence is there? Like I said, I've worked in the research department of water water supply back in the 50s. That's a long time ago. But what I'm saying is any citizen can collect a gallon of water from, say, you lived in Pearl City area, we can assume that maybe the water coming to them is coming from the Pearl Harbor Aquifer, not from the Halava Tunnel, okay? Because water is distributed, like I mentioned before, from three different sources, artesian, surface water, and and underground water. But if, in fact, that when you pull a sample from, I worked in the bacteriological department, the chemical department did these tests for the toxin. When you pull a sample from, we took samples over the colony, you take a tap water from a person's kit and you test it. Now, has there been evidence that there's been any contamination such as that coming from the Pearl Harbor tanks that are getting into, say, the water, residential water supplies in, say, Pearl City?
Well, let me submit this. You mentioned the word border water supply, okay, that acronym. We've seen there are many problems with that. Let me, for the sake of what I'm attempting to do and inform the people that is not well versed in this subject, if you have, I'm going to try and simplify it. If you have a faucet in your home and you turn it on and you draw a gallon of water and you take it and have it sample and analyze and you find all of these monster chemicals in it, just hold tight, and whoever it is that you pay your water bill to, contact them or have your lawyer to contact them and say, look, I paid you for service for drinking water, safe drinking water. And then you tell the state health department, you have standards. You have an office called the Safe Drinking Water Department. I don't care where it came from, Halava, Manoa, or Mauna Loa, or Pearl Harbor. For me, for my purpose of this conversation, what I'm attempting is to simply say, for those that are not looking to be educated in drinking water and the constituents and all of that, but just want to protect themselves and their health and their families, this is what I'll say to them. Now, you and I will have a different conversation, but to you that are listening out there, don't be distracted. Just simply, if you're paying your water bill and you get it sampled, and also they're supposed to tell you what's in the water in your reports, or you can call up and get a report, supposedly. Border Water Supply, it is not clear right now which wells they are extracting water from over in that area, or even if they're influenced. So, again, if you have a tap in your house, there's also chromium-6. In high levels in there in these reports. If you find your samples and it come from your faucet, take your water bill, whoever it is that is charging you, then that's where your fight starts right there. And then from there, it's up to them to say, well, gee whiz, we're selling these people safe drinking water, but it's not safe. Where is it coming from? They have an obligation because they're falsifying or falsely selling you something. They're claiming purest water. Pure water is what? What is that? Is the best? What is that mantra they have? It, Border Water Supply. Pure water. There's nothing like.
Our motto when I was working there was pure water, man's greatest need.
Okay.
They changed it. I don't know what it is.
So you know. So you need to get a scientist and a lawyer and go at them because. That's what I would say. Or go to your legislators and say, look, I got drinking water here, and we're paying tax dollars to fund a safe drinking water department, and my sample shows some monsters in my water. Mr. Legislator, I need you to convene a hearing or an investigation as to who's lying and why did they hold this back. It's that simple. As an advocate, I can't bring people back to the table and say, let's become PhDs and engineers to fix this problem because it will never get fixed because we have enough smart people as it is. In fact, too smart for our own good. Let's keep this one simple.
Getting back to personal health, my greatest fear is the insult to my liver is not to these minute contaminants from drinking water. It's drinking alcohol for 60 years. So,
well, did you? My question is, did you have a good time while you were drinking?
Absolutely. Otherwise, I'd quit. Only on a social level now. Okay.
Right. That's what I tried to tell everybody. I just drink for social purposes, and I find myself socializing every day.
Like some of our friends that sit in the bar for 5 hours a day, I cannot do that. So, Maybe I drink watching TV in the evening before I have my dinner.
Yeah.
But 60 years of it should be insulting my liver.
Yeah, but again, and all jokes aside, this imagine the impacts. Look at the Camp Lejeune study that is going on. That is enough. And I'm going to post a link to that article.
Well, you know, there are serious insults to water supply from just recently in Virginia. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, the public has to be alert on that.
Yeah.
So,
well, let me take this other call.
You're alerting us, so thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Caller, good morning. Thank you for holding.
Well, I'm a little alarmed now. I drink a lot of water here in Waipahu, and I did think it was a little more turbid than most water.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an implied contract with my water company and my landlord that I am getting a pure, wholesome item called clean drinking water?
Mm-hmm.
If there is, why does the water company and the landlords have to follow through by adding a water filter to my water line or making sure that I have good access to, like, the reverse osmotic clean water?
Mm-hmm.
It could be simple to repair for the time being until they can remediate. I don't think they've remediated World War II damage.
Yeah.
All the environmental toxins. We have to live with it somehow. Also, you say mo gas. Is that kind of like aviation fuel?
Yeah, all of it related to, I don't know what mo gas was used for. I think it was, I don't know. I don't want to misspeak, but it is.
Well, I think we need to hold these people accountable somehow by making sure the landlords work with the mm-hmm. water companies to make sure the water filters are put in. But if I'm not mistaken, airplanes dump fuel like crazy on their way in. It's just, what are we going to do? How are we going to live like a wholesome shamanistic life without all these environmental toxins? Or are we going to live the high-tech life with computers and all these other chemicals?
Yeah.
How do we make that decision? Where do we go?
Yeah, well, the thing is, if I'm going to put a link to this by Maggie Fox. It's Camp Lejeune study finds higher cancer death risk.
Is yeah, and stuff then if there's lots of cancer and a lot of things, then these companies ought to be paying the hospitals to take care of these people.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to do things where we can. And if there's an implied contract that our water's wholesome, and it's not, then they have to put filters in. And then they have to either supply through these reverse osmotic water supplying companies wholesome water.
Yeah. Well, first you got to know what's in them. But here are the people stationed at North Carolina's Camp Lejeune. While the water there was contaminated, were more likely to die from several types of cancer, as well as Lou Gehrig's disease, according to an official government report released Wednesday. It's the latest in a series of reports showing the contaminated water at the base seriously affected Marines and their families. Quote, the study found elevated risk at Camp Lejeune for several causes of death, including cancers of the kidney, liver, esophagus, cervix, multiple myeloma, Hodgkin's lymphoma, and ALS.
Those are the facts then. That kind of presumes we better make the most out of every day then if we're getting, you know, kind of hurt quickly because of some of the ways we live and choose to live.
Not very many of people who drank the contaminated water have died yet. And so more study will be needed to really nail down the risk. I have the original posting of this Camp Lejeune. If you want to go to carolcox.com, you can see the original reports at Congress. There's a link to Congressional Library with this. But this is serious, folks. And so Marines have complained they and their children suffer cancer, including breast cancer, leukemia, because of the contamination.
The only thing I can add is pointing to the future is a lot of times businesses are allowed to do business in areas and they don't figure the cost of like remediating with strip mining. That's not part of the expense of doing business. So when you get the cheaper is better and the more for less story again, you're getting lied to. You can educate your Congress to make sure that there is remediating costs associated with doing business, and that's expense over periods of time too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much all I can add.
Well, thank you. Thank you, caller.
Bye.
All right, bye. Marcia?
Yes. Speaking of the cancers, I was doing a documentary on the bombing of the Marshall Islands, and I talked to some people at Tripler, and they talked to me under condition that I wouldn't say where I got it. But they said the numbers of the kinds of cancers they had were now numbered. They had run out of names for.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the same kind of contaminant that we are talking about, that the amount of cancers that they see are, you know, astronomical, and they're numbered and not named. That's just to show you what's going on in the environment.
Yeah, the Hawaii administrative rules require, that's 11.281.80.1, it requires the owner and operator to submit of UST's quarterly progress reports that set forth responses, actions taken in response to releases, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I love this. The sentence ahead is that they say they haven't received any reports in 21 months. Well, 21 quarterly reports, so that's almost 5 years. So you figure they then, this is like the, you ever see the little chihuahua barking at this big pit bull?
Oh, yeah.
This is the state health department. Now, they tell them, they in this letter, they've already told them that you should have been submitting 21 quarterly report progress reports. DOH has received none. And then in the next paragraph, they cite the law. And then they say, failure to submit reports is considered a violation of the UST laws and could lead to assessment of penalties by DOH pursuit of Hawaii revised statute. Now, isn't that funny? So, DOH is requesting that the Navy submit the progress reports pursuant to the authority of Hawaii revised statute. How about that? Isn't that kind? That's
And then nothing's done.
That's that nice aloha, holomala. This is, they try to apply it, but they're killing people. They're getting people sick and trying to be nice, you see. It's just wrong, and it has nothing to do with, it's just people that have come here and sat down and say they're part of this culture. And you don't, I don't think anybody in the Hawaiian culture would behave like this, write lies and reports and misrepresent and then submit it as fact. And then watch the people drink water and get sick, and then, you know, they got a retirement and they, you know, get a job at the, because he was a colonel, he gets a job at a think tank and all of this, right? And leave us in the mix. So, I mean, is that a wrong thing to say? I don't care. It's reality. If you're willing to walk and leave such a trail of chemicals and contaminants, someone need to be more harsh in our comments to these people.
Well, I'm jump around here. Last week, one of your listeners called in, and I hope she calls again, because she has some of the best research that I have known about, and she has research that goes back to the 30s when they started putting in all of this, these mm-hmm. tunnels and wells and the tanks. And I hope she calls in again, because I want you to talk to her. She has unbelievable kind of research and documentation. So I hope she'll, mm-hmm. if it's not too late, I hope she'll call
right.
in.
Right. So anyway, in this report, yeah, I would love to hear from her too. I think I've met her on occasion, and if she's listening today, I would like to reconnect and see what other information. But in this report, this is written by Michael Miyosaka. He's a remedial project manager for this. He worked for the health department and still does. Section 2.9, basal aquifer water level monitoring. This is, they're referring to the 2.9 section. States the water level measurement data are discussed in section 3.7. You know what his comments were?
Mm-hmm.
There is no 3.7. Section 3.7. So the Navy even wrote a report up and represented that certain information is found in a document in section 3.7. And this gentleman is reviewing the report and saying, That's false. There's no such thing as a section 3.7. So, again, figure 4.4-4, elevated confirmation detection of TPH and AST above ground storage subsurface soil samples 4.5 to 8.0 feet shows a TPH contamination level at 7,400 milligrams per kilogram at sampling point AB189. Laboratory analytical results show TPH levels at 7,620. You see?
Wow.
They can't. So again, figure 4-5, elevated confirmation detections of TPHs and AST subsurface soil samples, 8.0, is greater than 8.0. TPH shows contamination levels at 11,000 milligrams per kilogram in the sampling point. Laboratory analytical results shows TPH levels at 11,300. So, let's say today they tell us something. How can we believe it when we have this evidence? These records now show that when they were supposedly spending millions or hundreds of thousands to do these samplings to prepare for this remediation, and they're lying. And they're, and not just one mistake. This document here consists of three pages, but again, a more glaring one is that section 9.3, human health, PREs, states that elevated TPH concentrations occur sporadically. That analysis of immediately adjoining samples typically demonstrates very low detected concentrations, and that collective data indicates that the elevated TPH concentrations are anomalous spot concentration, and the evidence suggests that TPH impact on the EOC is not widespread or significant. The soil sampling data in the AST area does not report these conclusions.
What does not support these conclusions?
Well, they gave information saying, drawing one conclusion when the sampling that they submitted and conducted wouldn't support that.
Oh, dear.
So they took their liberty. The soil sampling data in AST or areas that does not support these conclusions. See, they're saying, you did samples, you drew this conclusion, but these soil samples and the sampling regime don't support that. Surface soil samples at AB113, AB193, and 198 have total TPH of 7,600, 9,100, and 5,046 milligrams per kilogram. The samples are adjacent to each other and encompass in areas of about 300 feet. Subsurface soils, AB189, 211, 185, 216, which are adjacent to each other, have the TPH levels of 8,420, 5,440, 3,950, and 12,700. Samples at that depth of 5 to 15 feet below surface encompasses an area of about 250 feet. So, anyway, what part of the reports do we believe? So I would say come March 7th, if you are interested and you want the Navy to have its feet held to the fire and the State Health Department, attend that meeting at the State Capitol. It's going to be in room 329. It's convened by Senator Gabbard and Representative Chris Lee, of the Energy and Environment Committee, Environment and Energy Committee. So, anyway, that's what we're dealing with. You have a comment before we go, Marcia?
Yes. I really wanted you to constantly repeat that people need to be there. The only way, you know, anything happens is if you shine a light on it. And if no one's there, they can again sweep it under the rug. So you need to be there, so that they can't say, well, we did this, and nobody complained.
Well, just remember, when you deal with this much oil, you're tempted, you're liable to become slick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if the state admits some wrong, then they are liable, and the Attorney General's office is going to say, well, we're going to have to pay, so be careful what you say. you know.
No, what they will probably do is go hire a private security company to investigate it. And Mr. Isla will then write a letter and go before the committee and complain that this is not fair and, you know, and on the same old nonsense. Meantime, there's this great threat looming over the, literally looming over the heads of people up in the mountains there. But again, here's something, in a 1996 October 4th letter, in addressing the chromium contamination in the soil at the AST of underground chromium now, piping and oily waste delivery system, unauthorized disposal area. The plan cites the chromium PRG of 30 milligrams, which is 4 chromium 6. It then compares this chromium 6 PRG with, quote, total chromium, concentrate, end quote, concentrations found that that's at the site and concludes that the PRG was exceeded. The plan then states that although the chromium concentrations exceeded the PRG, they were below the background levels for chromium, which was 435 milligrams. This background level of 435 was from the soil sample, S14, which was 61 feet below ground surface and much higher than the highest chromium concentration found at the three sites of 183, 226, 237 milligrams. Table 3-4, potential chemical specific ARR and TBC criteria for soil shows a EPA region X, region 9 PRG for chromium total is 210 and 450 for residential and industrial. This evaluation of the chromium contamination found at the site has some problems which need to be addressed. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Everything.
It needs to be addressed, but has it been addressed?
Yeah, that's everything. I don't know where to start because they start off doing a job to sample, and we're supposed to make decisions based on the sampling results, and yet they're submitting false reports, false statements, information, making claims that don't exist, and now where are we? It still sits up there, and they're now trying to figure out. So it's going to take an army of people to make them do what's right. So anyway,
so that is the reason that everybody needs to be there to let them see that there is an army, as you say,
yeah.
That the public is there,
yeah.
And the public's got to hold their feet to the fire.
Well, it's
and if nothing
yeah.
else is going to work but people turning out.
Well, it's okay if they don't. We've attempted to share with you, and happy drinks and bonza. So all I can say is you can take them to the water, but you can't make them drink, right?
Well, let's hope they don't drink.
Well, anyway, thanks all of you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. We'll see you again. Aloha.
Thank you, Kel, for all you do.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, thank you.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.